This is a special preview of Bob Edwards' interview with Bill Moyers on his return to weekly television. The interview will premiere on The Bob Edwards Show April 19th at 8 a.m. Eastern, exclusively on XM Public Radio, Channel 133, and will also air on public radio stations across the country on Bob Edwards Weekend during the weekend of April 21st to 22nd. Bob Edwards Weekend is produced by XM Radio and distributed by PRI. The following excerpt is provided by XM Radio. Bill Moyers' Journal premieres with the special documentary Buying the War on Wednesday, April 25th at 9 p.m. on PBS. Then, on Friday, April 27th, Bill Moyers' Journal airs in its regular time slot, Fridays at 9, on PBS. Check local listings at pbs.org.
Was this just lazy reporting?
No, I can't say it was lazy. These are hardworking folks. These are people who come early and stay late. It was not lazy. It was loyalty. It was loyal reporting, loyal to the official view of reality. It was uncritical reporting. It was the reporting of stenographers, not the reporting of journalists. It was uninformed reporting, because they thought they had first-rate information from the very people who had a stake in their believing that.
Bob Simon didn't have that hard a time finding good sources. One of his most important was Bob Baer.
Yes, a source he had known over the years in the CIA, who instantly knew when 9/11 happened and when the talk began to circulate from Washington that Saddam was behind 9/11, or Saddam had weapons of mass detection. I mean, that's the result of a reporter like Simon being in one place over 25 years, of being allowed to develop sources, not jerked from one place to another. And it's the old-fashioned notion that you can't just parachute in and get what you need. You have to develop it like the slow-growing sprouts of a garden. That's what good sources are. And Bob Baer was able to cast water on some of the claims of the administration because he knew and trusted Bob Simon.
So did the sources of Walter Pincus of the Washington Post, but his stories contradicting what the others were saying. His stories were on page 16 of the Washington Post.
That's right. There have been several studies throughout these last 4 years which show that the stories that were sensational, Saddam Hussein has weapons, or Saddam Hussein is training terrorists, they always made the front story. And the secondary stories, the stories that challenged that, the stories that were contradicting the sensational reports, were put back inside the paper. And, I used to be the publisher of a newspaper, and the front page every day was our proclamation of what, as professionals, we thought was important. And if we put a story on the front page that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, that is what we wanted you, if you had a short attention span, to see. That was our priority for you, acting as your surrogate. So while Walter Pincus did some superb reporting and developed, like Bob Simon had developed over 25 years in Washington, he's one of our senior reporters of the intelligence and security world down there, he developed these sources because they were not as sensational, because they were not as eye-grabbing, because they were not consistent with the administration's position, they got relegated to page 17, page 18.
Do we not recognize a campaign when Secretary Rice says the smoking gun could come in the form of a mushroom cloud, and then someone else says it, and then President Bush says it?
Well, some of us did. I mean, I was producing and being the managing editor at the time of a regular weekly broadcast called Now with Bill Moyers. And my staff all saw that. They'd come in and say, look, this is the same language being repeated time and again on different talk shows. We saw it. In part, I think that's because we're not in Washington. We're a distance. We're located in New York. But the other thing is, Bob, I mean, I would probably be rightly charged with sanctimony if I was saying these things if I hadn't learned what I learned at the time of the Vietnam War. And I learned that the closer you are to power, the further you can be from the truth. And there is a tendency in Washington. It was true in the Vietnam War, and it's true now. There is a tendency to take at face value what a high public official tells you, both on the record and off the record. That is a human tendency. Don't ask me why it's there, but it is. It's something. You know, we're supposed to, as Americans, to be suspicious of authority. We don't like government. On the other hand, the closer you are to these officials who you see as another human being on two legs, who can joke with you and who can have a drink with you and talk about your wife or your new baby, that you tend to think, this guy's not going to lie to me. And that inability to suspend the familial relationship in order to be a professional judgment, it gets us into trouble time and time again. And so the further you were from Washington, the more you could see the pattern of propaganda that was being played out here. But in Washington, there is a game in Washington. I call it the winking game. I mean, you watch those Sunday morning broadcasts, and the hosts are playing devil's advocate. They're not like the BBC, and you'll see some really first-rate reporting in our documentary from the BBC. The guys in Washington on the talk shows, they'll ask a devil's advocate question, and then you can kind of see them symbolically wink. They know that the answer they're going to get from the official who's on that show today is a rigged answer. It's going to be the official answer, whether it's from a Democrat or a Republican. And they play this wink and nod game on these talk shows that make them practically useless as sources of reliable information. The Sunday talk shows are designed to give elites a bulletin board for their opinions and to make news in the next morning's susceptible wire story reports about so-and-so said yesterday on Meet the Press or This Week with George Stephanopoulos or Wolf Blitzer on CNN or Fox Sunday. They're all a platform. It was an unintentional collusion that has become now the way the game is played. And it's practically useless for really knowing what government is doing and holding government accountable.
But the Washington Post did not take the official line in June of 1972 after the Watergate break-in.
Well, you'll have to ask the Washington Post about that. You know, the Washington Post, at that time, you know, Woodward and Bernstein were lowly police reporters, and they worked their way up with the documents. They didn't take the administration's line for it, just a third-rate burglary. They worked their way up the chain of evidence until they finally broke the story because they had documentation for it, and then they got confirmation for it. But things have changed since then, Bob, and the Washington Post editorialized in behalf of the war in Iraq 26 times in the months leading up to the war. That was often at odds with what their reporters were reporting. I mean, look at the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, which is a universe totally separate from the solid to tough, hard reporting that the reporters do for the news section of the Wall Street Journal. I mean, they've got schizophrenic personalities, the editorial page of the Washington Post and the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, from the work that their journalists are doing on the front page. It's a weird bifurcation that is very, very disconcerting.
So we're supposed to question groupthink, but there are consequences. You talked to Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue lost his show on MSNBC because in this period of building up to the war and the invasion of Iraq, he wanted voices on that were challenging the official view of reality. He would put on Scott Ritter, who was a weapons inspector who was saying, wait a minute, this isn't what's happening out there. He would put on advocates of peace. He would put on people who were at odds with what the administration was saying. He was told by his bosses that he had to have two conservatives on for every liberal he put on. And by liberal, he meant somebody who challenged the orthodoxy of Washington. I mean, that's another thing that's happened. If you report contrary to what the official line is in Washington, they call you a liberal. And so Donahue was told to put on two conservatives for every liberal he had on the air. The deck was stacked. His bosses did not want to be accused of being unpatriotic. They did not. They have NBC, GE, all have business in Washington that has nothing to do with journalism. They didn't want to anger the Republican Congress. They didn't want to anger the White House because they want favors from government that depend upon the goodwill of the people they're covering. That's why today the news business, the business of making a profit from news, is at war with journalism. And when Phil Donahue tried to do good talk show journalism, he was first muzzled by, or he was muffled by his bosses, and then the cord was pulled on his show, and he was dropped out of the aircraft.
We want to be popular.
A lot of journalists do want to be popular. They particularly want to have access. Access is a big thing to it. I mean, Tim Russert indicates in my interview with him, you know, that if you want the big guys on, you want the Rumsfelds and the Cheneys and the Rices, even when you know that they are giving you the official line, and you know, as a talk show host in Washington, that the middle level guy, the colonel in the Air Force, the colonel in the Army, the middle level agent at the CIA, they really know what's going on, and they could tell you, but they're not going to come on your talk show because, first of all, they're not glamorous, they're not well known, and third, they'd get fired if they came on and told the news. Their bosses would sit on them. So you've got a stack deck. You know, I grew up in East Texas, and there was the old story about the card shark who looked across the table in a poker game and said, "Now play the game fair, Reuben. I know what I dealt you." Everybody in Washington knows the hand that's been dealt. It's a rigged, stacked deck. And if you challenge it, you continue to function in Washington, but not with celebrity and not with influence, because you want access to the guys who will let you in on the know, even though the know is a lie. And you will become a party to that. As I repeat, the closer you are to power, the further you are from the truth.
But now we know better, so this will never happen again.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that's what we like to believe. I was encouraged when the administration began to beat the same drums and strum the same chords about Iran. I was pleased that journalists this time begin to ask questions. I actually think, though, that the reason the administration has not taken military action against Iran is because our forces are so depleted, the army is so exhausted, that there is just not the power to do it. But I do, over the last few months, there has been more skepticism about the administration's claims about Iran. That I think is a result of the lessons that some people learned over Iraq. On the other hand, you know, the right wing pundits and the official megaphones of Washington are continuing to be defensive about everything the administration says, or to propagate it about Iraq and other places. The big difference between now and 5 years ago is that we have a few more independent sources of information, such as radio, Sirius, XM, NPR. But most importantly, I think we have, in the last 4 or 5 years, the contrarian bloggers have become a more muscle, have become a greater muscle. And you'll find them swarming on misstatements. I 3 years ago, John McCain would probably have gotten away with his photo op in Baghdad. He couldn't get away with it this time because courageous reporters for CNN from Baghdad and then bloggers picked up on it and just pulled the lens back so that you could see while John McCain was talking about how safe the neighborhood was. He was surrounded by military personnel and helicopters above him. That wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. So there have been some positive developments out of this. But over time, I'm not encouraged because the press in Washington, the elites in the press corps in Washington are playing the same game that the elites in the political class are.
So are we asking the tough questions now because of lessons learned, or because the guy who had 80% in polls 5 years ago now has 30%?
That's right. You remember that August before 9/11, George Bush had sunk in the polls. They were already writing him off as a lame duck. And then, of course, 9/11 and his very appropriate response on the debris here in the ruins of the World Trade Center, he shot up in popularity. Yes, it's okay now, it's safe now to take on George Bush because he's down in the polls and he's a lame duck and he can't strike back the way he could then. And Karl Rove has been wounded and is bleeding and doesn't have the mafiosa that he used to have to come after you if you took him on. Yes, the press gets courage the more the officials are bleeding and lying on the ground wounded. There's no question about that.
Your program is the premiere of Bill Moyers Journal, your new program on PBS. And on Friday, the program moves to its regular time slot. What can we expect?
Well, we're going to keep trying to report the stories that no one else is reporting or hold up an optical lens so that you can see what more is there than what you think is there regarding, say, the prosecutors, the scandal of the prosecutors. We're going to be trying to get people as close as possible to the verifiable truth. We're going to be talking to people who have things to say outside the official world of reality in Washington. We're going to be talking to historians and philosophers and public interest advocates and poets and writers, all of whom speak to our times but don't have the patina of authority that comes with having a title in Washington. We're going to try to provide an alternative view of reality for those people who appreciate that.
You've just listened to an excerpt from The Bob Edwards Show, produced by XM Radio. Every episode of The Bob Edwards Show is available for download at audible.com. For more information on The Bob Edwards Show, go to www.xmradio.com. For more on Buying the War and Bill Moyers' Journal, visit www.pbs.org/Moyers.